Ho, 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 and Merry Christmas. It is the last broadcast of the year for us and our Christmas special. And when you think Christmas, you think Charlie Brown. You think Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You think Frosty the Snowman. You think Bill O'Reilly. Okay, maybe you don't, but you should think Bill O'Reilly right now. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the program.
A Glenn Beck Christmas special, everyone, starring Andy Williams, Marie Osmond.
Yeah, it's great. And Dean Martin is going to be by in just a little while.
Excellent.
Yeah. So Bill, Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you.
I want to talk to you about a couple of things. I don't want you to leave before we talk about the story that broke in the Hill, because we haven't had a chance to talk about that. But first, trying to keep our theme going here of Christmas and the end of the year. Tell me what you think the three most important stories of the year were.
Okay, I think the most important story is the attack on Donald Trump by the media.
That's the number one most important story.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's changed the way news reportage.
Ooh, word of the minute.
Word of the day, yeah.
Oh, of the day.
Is expedited in this country. So that's number one.
Okay.
Number two would be the rise of the American economy. And number three would be the defeat of ISIS in Syria and Iraq.
Wow.
Those would be the top three stories, Beck.
You know what? You know what's amazing about those three things is none of them are correct. None of them. None of them are right.
No, by what yardstick are you making that determination?
By, you know, everything that is good and decent and holy and everything that is, you know, based in common sense.
All right. So your top three stories are?
My top three stories. Now, I did this yesterday, and I'm trying to remember what the first one was.
Are you saying his stories are not
correct? You don't even remember what the first one was.
Well, it's because they were so important. Okay. So,
no.
So here it is. Here it is. I got him in my memory now. Okay. You ready? Number one. Gorsuch. That's going to make a lasting impression and leave a lasting mark one way or another, I'm hoping in a good way, on America.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with it. I don't think it's as important as my three, but it's certainly in the ballpark. Well, What's number two?
That's what Bill O'Reilly would say. Number two is the charge of fake news and the American people's inability to recognize truth, being able to see it, and also the press not being able to see it. You know, the right says this is fake news. The left says this is fake news. There is truth out there. And without someone being trustworthy enough to say, no, guys, this is the truth. I don't know how we survive.
Well, your number two pick coincides with my number one pick.
Yeah, but mine was
mine was
really kind of stated, you know, a little better.
But people expect that of you.
Yeah, and the third pick was because I think it has eternal and lasting ramifications if it's more than just talk, and that is the calling Jerusalem the capital of Israel.
All right. Well, that's a spiritual thing you're getting into now. I would not put that in the top stories because of the direct effect it has on people's lives. Now, if you're an Israeli, of course, but as an American, we're looking at this on the outside. So going, my three stories were basically how they affect the folks.
So isn't it
my thing is looking out for the folks, Beck, as you know.
So is it amazing that neither one of us put,
yes,
and I think this is more of a question of how much has happened that is huge this year. The Harvey Weinstein effect and what has happened in the last year and where we're headed in the next year. I mean, this is a remarkably huge story.
It is a big story, but it isn't touching the lives of the folks. It's more of a sensationalistic piece of culture that most people are kind of just looking at going, wow. But does it affect the way they live their lives, the way they go to work, the way they raise their children? No. It's salacious. It's sensationalistic. It is hysterical at this point in some precincts. But I just don't think it has a lasting effect on regular working people. Certainly you're going to have an effect on politicians because now you're going to get muckraking all day long.
Oh, it's going to be...
It's going to have effect on the media people. Anybody who's ever done anything wrong in the last 50 years, sooner or later it's going to come down and get you right between the eyes. There isn't a man in the country, a famous man in the country, that's safe. All accusations are destructive. It's trial by headline. And that is a very, very troubling thing. But important in the long run to people's lives, I don't think it makes a top three.
Okay. Speaking of culture and how it has gone off the rails, love your thought. This is CNN talking about a new Christmas book. Listen, and I'd like to hear your comment.
There's a new children's book out this Christmas. Takes us inside Santa's wedding. We meet Santa's husband, David.
What inspired Santa's husband?
It was sort of inspired by the annual tradition we have in this country of pretending that there's a giant war on Christmas and that traditional Christmas is under attack. So among other things, we were reading all of the news about the Mall of America hiring a black Santa Claus last year. And me and my now wife made a joke on Twitter that if we ever had a child, they would only know about black Santa Claus. And if they saw a white Santa Claus at the mall, we would just explain, well, that's his husband.
It says, like any married couple, they have their disagreements, but they always manage to kiss and make up, usually over a plate of milk and cookies.
Bill.
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted you to hear.
That's Don Lemon, right?
Yeah, that's Don Lemon doing that story, yes.
Yeah. All right, well, look, here are my initial thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. It is beyond shameful that CNN and others feel that they have license to denigrate all of our traditions. And that's what they're doing there. There's no doubt about it. They're mocking the tradition of Santa Claus, which is St. Nicholas, generosity, pleasing children, magical time, mocking it, injecting in social justice to the Christmas season. Shameful, but predictable from these people who have disdain not only for America, but for traditional Americans who love Christmas.
So
they despise us.
Okay, I said earlier this week, kind of a controversial statement. I said there was no war on Christmas. The war on Christmas has been lost. And
we won the war on Christmas. You were working at Fox, I was there, and that's when I launched, because you reminded me so much of Santa.
Yeah.
Kind of a little pudgy. And,
hey,
you know, didn't have a beard, but
don't know if
very
that's...
generous, very, very
sure.
Jocular.
Yeah. Generous. I like that part of you. Yes.
I could see you in your jammies up in the North Pole making stuff.
Yes.
All right.
Drinking hot chocolate.
Right. So when I saw you, I said, you know what? I'm getting tired of people like department stores threatening their employees with firing if they say Merry Christmas.
Yes.
And we had a list of them. And we put the list on the screen, and then Americans said, you know, we're not really going to shop in these places anymore, which the policy of firing people for saying Merry Christmas stopped abruptly.
Yes.
All right. So we won.
Well, I think here's what I meant by that. That I think we did win on people that aren't afraid to say Merry Christmas, which is very nice. However, when you look, and I gave the, you know, songs that are just on the playlists for Christmas from iTunes, there's not a religious reference in the 50 of them that I saw. We are a secular, increasingly secular society.
That's why I send my kids to private school, because I don't want my children to be on the defensive when it comes to their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
And that's what we've done in this country Thank you, Barack Obama. Thank you, Bill Clinton. Thank you, far left nuts. You basically, if you're a man or a woman of faith, now you have to be cautious about it. You can't offend anyone by saying anything about it. That's fascism. That's Cuban stuff. And I don't want my children to be a part of it. So therefore, I choose to send them to private school where they don't have that oppression. But you're absolutely right. This is a secular society. And in that regard, the far left kooks have won.
So let me ask you this, because you said that I reminded you of Santa, and that was very kind
yes.
of you. I was wondering what for traditions for you. What were the traditions when you were growing up for Christmas around the Civil War?
You know, the muskets were outside, lined up, and the horses were whinnying.
No, seriously, what is something
you don't want to know about the Civil War?
Yeah, I know. What is the Christmas tradition that you either right. carry on or you miss that used to happen?
Here it is, Beck. Get your pen, take some notes. Stu can take the notes.
Got it.
My first memory on being on the planet is sitting on the stairs of my Levittown house, all right? Three bedrooms, one bath, little box house. At about 5 in the morning, I got up before everybody else. I must have been 3, maybe 2.5. And the tree was lit, and all the presents were under the tree. And I would just sat there for about an hour just staring at it. Okay? That's my first memory on the planet. So that I try to duplicate that. We have a tree in the living room. We put gifts under the tree.
We
go to church.
Uh-huh.
And I usually go in and tell the priest, look, not too long. Okay, keep it about 10 minutes with the sermon.
We got
people fainting. We got kids screaming, you know, that kind of
thing. So do you get your kids up and force them to sit on the stairs at 5 o'clock in the morning? Or
no.
No, okay.
No, I don't force. I suggest.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, so
if you want those gifts, you'll sit on the stairs.
So, Bill, let me go back here to something that we didn't talk about last week, which is the story that came out on the Hill and in the Hill, which is, you know, it adds a lot of credibility to it. Lisa Bloom, the attorney that orchestrated your departure at Fox, was shown to have been offering women money to tell a story about Donald Trump. She was accused, and she admitted to offering up to $750,000 just to help these poor women out because they were afraid they'd lose everything if they came out against Donald Trump.
Look, I told you last Friday that big story was going to break, and it broke about an hour after your program ended. What the real disgrace is, too disgraceful. I said to everybody when I left Fox, this was a hit job. It was an orchestrated hit job. We always knew there was big money in play on all different levels, not just for me, but with Trump and a lot of other people. And this is a fact now. They have the memos, they have the emails from Bloom, they have all of this. So they lay it out on thehill.com, and if your audience has not seen it, go there. You can read the report. But the really, really shocking and makes me furious is that the New York Times, the LA Times, the Washington Post, the Network News, CNN, all ignored the story, didn't cover the story. Yet every sleazy allegation that comes down, they cover. They can't wait to cover it. All right. They didn't want to cover Franken, and now they're backtracking. Well, maybe he won't resign, you know, that kind of stuff. But if it's a conservative or a Republican, they couldn't care less what's true. They just slap it up. But when this comes in and it's absolutely 100% true, they won't cover. That is corruption beyond redemption. Okay.
All right.
Remember what I said. Corruption beyond redemption. We do not have a free press anymore in this country. All right. So all I'm going to ask your audiences to do is to read the story and then take it to the next level, which the next level will be shown that this is now an industry of destruction. They found a way to destroy people. It involves money and politics, not in every case. There are women who have been hurt, and they deserve justice. But in many cases,
Okay.
Lisa Bloom and her cadre should be put in prison, in my opinion.
Bill, I only have a minute. Thank you for sharing time with us this
sure.
year, and thank you for being on on the program. And is it going to be a better year or a tougher year?
I don't know. I got to tell everybody that you were very generous to me.
No. I mean next year. Is it going to be a better year?
No, I don't know what's going to happen next
year.
Okay. I know that I just can't. But I want your listeners to know that you really are a fair man. And a man who doesn't want to hurt people and wants to do good on this earth, and that's the Christmas spirit.
Thank you.
I also want to tell him to go to BillO'Reilly.com and all that other business. But it's more important they like you than go to BillO'Reilly.com.
All right. Bill, God bless. Have a great holiday.
You too. Have a good time.
See you in the new year.
In the new year. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man. He's nothing like spending a Christmas with Bill O'Reilly. I'll say that.
Yeah, no, he's
and it's BillO'Reilly.com, 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 and the book Killing England is the one he's pitching right now.
All right, our Christmas special continues with more eggnog and more cheer in a minute.
Restrictions apply. From us, the wishor, to you, hereinafter called the wishy. Please accept without obligation, implied or implicit, our best wishes for an environmentally conscious, socially responsible, politically correct, low-stress, non-addictive, gender-neutral celebration of the winter solstice holiday. Practice within the most enjoyable traditions of the religious persuasion of your choice, or secular practices of your choice, with respect for the religious, secular persuasions and or traditions of others, or their choice not to practice religious or secular traditions at all, and a financially successful, personally fulfilling, and medically uncomplicated recognition on the onset of the generally accepted calendar year of 2001, but with due respect to the calendars of choice of other cultures or sects, and having regard to the race, creed, color, age, physical ability, religious faith, choice of computer platform, or dietary preference of the wishy. By accepting this greeting, you are bound by the terms that this greeting is subject to further clarification or withdrawal. This greeting is freely transferable, provided that no alteration shall be made to the original greeting, and that the proprietary rights of the wishor are acknowledged. This greeting implies no promise by the wishor to actually implement any of the wishes. This greeting may not be enforceable in certain jurisdictions, and or the restrictions herein may not be binding upon certain wishes in certain jurisdictions that is revocable at the sole direction of the wishor. This greeting is warranted to perform as reasonably may be expected within the usual application of good tidings for a period of 1 year or until the issuance of subsequent holiday greeting, whichever comes first. This wishor warrants this greeting only for the limited replacement of this wish or issuance of a new wish at the sole direction of the wishor. Any references in this greeting to the Lord or Father Christmas or our Savior or any other festive figures, whether actual or fictitious, dead or alive, shall not imply any endorsement by or from them in respect of this greeting, and all proprietary rights in any reference, third-party names, and images are hereby acknowledged. Merry Christmas from the Gladback Program. Some restrictions may apply.
Glenn Beck.
By the way, this is from the Christmas album Believe Again, which is a great, great CD. Grab it for Christmas, available on Amazon and everything else. One of the things that has been really remarkable to me this year is our fascination on space. From Elon Musk and what he is doing to go to Mars, and last Friday, we sent something up for the International Space Station, and we used Elon Musk's SpaceX, and to watch that thing launch, and within, I think, 10 minutes, the booster rocket was back landing on the launch pad. It was absolutely phenomenal. There's something else that's going on, and that is what the New York Times released this last week, which was, are we alone? And the money that the government has spent looking at UFOs. And one of the guys who is a career intelligence officer He worked with the U.S. Army, the Department of Defense, the National Counterintelligence, Director of the National Intelligence. He was a special agent in charge, blah, blah, blah. He has been around this. Now he is with To the Stars Academy and the Director of Global Security, Luis Elizondo. Hello, Luis. How are you, sir?
Good, Mr. Beck. How are you, sir?
Very good. So I would tell you to call me Glenn, but you're a career military man, so I have a feeling it's going to remain Mr. Beck. Luis,
old habits are hard to break.
Sorry. I know. Thank you for your service, by the way. Do we believe that there is life that is visiting us, or is this hype?
Well, when you say we, let me clarify, at least just from my perspective, because I certainly can't speak on behalf of every American.
I
certainly wouldn't pretend to. And as far as speaking for the department, it's been about 2 months now since I've been out of the Department of Defense, so I certainly can't speak on behalf of the department. But what I can do is speak on behalf of myself, and I think on behalf of my colleagues that work this particular portfolio. And I think the evidence at this point is quite overwhelming. I think as we are entering this, as you said just now, kind of this new era of space, I think we are entering a new era where the evidence is quite frankly overwhelming.
Yeah, you know, we saw the video that they released, and I would imagine that there's maybe even more compelling stuff than that. But we saw the video, and you know, the airmen talking about look at this. It has no wings. I've heard you talk about, you know, seeing things and having, you know, documented footage of things without a propulsion unit, no wings, no surface, you know, that we would recognize as anything that would keep something afloat. Is this the most compelling thing that you have? Is this video, or is there more that you have seen?
Yeah, no, there's significantly more. These two videos that are out in the public domain are simply just a very, very small sample of the collective amount of information that we have over the years.
So, Luis, was there a conversation in the agency, you know, or in this, you know, group of we need to tell the American people this is not information that the government should hoard. This is really kind of important stuff.
Well, I think that's a fantastic observation. In my perspective, it may be a little bit more selfish, and that was I needed to be able to tell the most senior levels of DOD leadership. Please keep in mind that you know, as a former soldier and a employee of DOD, my loyalty is first and foremost to the American people. Second is to the Department of Defense, and third is to the Secretary of Defense. In this particular case, I think we're in a situation where this country has never had a better Secretary of Defense, in my opinion. And yes, I'm a little biased, but I think I can say that because I served with the man and have seen him in combat situations. So my loyalty to the boss is paramount. And when you are in an organization, a department where silos and stovepipes restrict the ability to give the top commander the information he or she may need to make critical decisions, regardless of resources, we have an obligation to make sure that we have that ability.
So what kind of decision would somebody in the Defense Department need to know this information? I mean, have you seen hostility or what?
Well, I'll get to that piece in a second. And the answer, in short, is we haven't seen any overt hostility. But keep in mind, in DOD, we are a national security organization. And so I don't want to say we get paid to be paranoid, but we definitely get paid to make sure things aren't a threat.
Yes.
So if we're not sure it's not a threat, then we have to presume it could be a threat. Not that it is, but it could be.
Yeah.
And so we need to understand how these things work. And from my perspective, you know, our secretary is a guy who likes more information, not less. And I think the issue really being stigma within the department. Secretary Mattis inherited a wonderful department, but a department, no less, that over 70 years has developed some silos and stovepipes. And the things that DOD does very well, obviously, looking at defined threats such as terrorism and potential nuclear weapons and chemical weapons and proliferation of you know, issue du jour. The one thing that it's not very comfortable with are those things that are very hard to define. They tend to be a bit nebulous. Things that we say, look, we don't know what it is, we don't know how it works, and we're not sure we can do anything to stop it.
What's the most amazing... Go ahead.
No, please, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, what was the most amazing thing that you... You know, it's one thing to say, well, we don't know if it's a plane or something. What is the most amazing thing that you saw that you would be comfortable sharing with us?
Sure. And thank you for saying that, because I will caveat that I still have a security clearance, or at least...
Yeah, sure.
Now. And I am obligated to protect any and all classified information. So whatever I share, of course, has to be classified. But what I can share with you is I think just the overwhelming amount of data and reports that we have received from people who are, keeping in mind, these are people with the highest levels of security clearances. These are people who are trained observers. They fly multi-million-dollar weapon platforms for their country on a daily basis, and they are the most trustworthy of trustworthy. And on top of that, these folks understand what they're looking at. It's not the fact that they just happen to be astute observers. They're actually trained observers. And on top of that, we now have equipment that can very quickly ascertain what we're looking at, if it's an aircraft, if it's a missile, if it's a drone, to the point where we actually know either what kind of drone it is. And unfortunately, I can't go into more detail than that. But with that said, the most compelling thing I've ever seen, I think, it's a bunch of things. It's not just one thing. I think one thing is to look at an object in a radar return or on a screen, and if you don't know what you're looking at, it's easy to say, oh, it's just a fuzzy dot, and the camera pans off screen. When in reality, that's not what's happening. When in reality, what you're looking at, if you understand what the radar return is telling you in infrared hot, infrared cold, et cetera, is an object that we can't get close to. It is taking evasive measures to avoid us getting close. And then when we do get close, it takes off at incredible velocities that frankly defy our understanding of logic, really. We're talking about objects that can go from drop from 80,000 feet down to 50 feet in a hover, and then instantaneously jump back up to 80,000 feet. And when I say 80,000 feet, it's actually higher. That's as high as we can see it with a particular system. Of course, we have other systems that are better than that too. But in this particular case, in other cases, we are seeing things that will interfere with equipment and our ability to further collect information on these things.
I only have 30 seconds. Are we going to be seeing more of this, or are they still going to keep tight-lipped? Is this pretty much what we're going to find out?
Well, I hope that we do more as a nation to insist that we see more. I think we need to make sure that we engage who we need to engage, our leaders, and say, hey, look, this is worth investing. I hate to say it, but $22 million, that's not enough. I know everybody's getting wrapped around the axle about the money, when really the bigger story here is, folks, we've been looking at this stuff for a while, and it's real. And as a nation, we need to decide, is it a national security imperative?
Former Pentagon UFO official Luis Elizondo. Fascinating.
Glenn Beck.
It's great to meet you guys.
Thank you. We're so happy to be here.
So let me start at the beginning.
Our company is called Radjoy, and we make wooden surrender crosses. The purpose of the crosses is to help people let go of the problems that they're carrying. They write their burdens down on a sheet of paper, nail them to the cross. Our hope is that they feel that burden taken away.
We were just in a season of restlessness, I would say, and just really started praying that God, the prayer that I prayed, that God would open doors widely or shut them loudly, and that his will would just be so evident for us. And so the morning he lost his job, I called him and said, what would you think if you quit your job and we just did this full time? Because I could see as he was making the crosses, just this passion building in him.
That afternoon, whenever I got laid off, I mean, I got the biggest grin on my face because all of a sudden, it just, everything made sense. All the experiences I had up at that point were leading up to something that I didn't know what it was. But in that moment, he gave me a quick glimpse of, hey, here's what I got in store for you. There was just too many stars in alignment for this not to be what God intended.
It was the prayer that I had prayed, that God would make things very clear. And I'm like, it couldn't be more clear than this.
It had to be really hard when you're like, no, this is it.
This made no sense to anyone, but we had to put our full faith in what this was going to be. We just knew in our hearts that, you know, it's going to be a good story, a really great story.
People, they say they trust, and they say they want things, but they don't really trust, and they don't necessarily want it the way God gives it to you.
But what we have found, too, is it's the perseverance that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning,
so true.
Everybody's standing behind you. And we still have tons of support. But there's just, you know, there's months that are really hard. And we think, how are we going to pay our bills this month?
Yeah.
And yet every single month, something has happened.
To surrender is to let go. It is to give yourself and to allow someone else, something else, in our case, Christ, take the reins.
The biggest thing is to let it go yourself.
So hard.
Just let it go.
It's just moment by moment. I see it on there. I'm like, I wrote it. I see it on there. And you can't help but not look at a cross and think, That's what we're supposed to do. I mean, yeah. Jesus died so we would be free.
It's not ours.
It's not ours anymore. It's not ours.
Let it go.
It's right there. I wrote it.
That's kind of our little tagline is, he's got this. So you remember that he said, I got this. You do your job. Let me do mine.
Yep.
After we started using our cross, we said, okay, this is going to be the way that we are going to recognize how faithful God is. This is now our family business. We wanted to do our best to get our kids involved with that. After Rick finishes creating the crosses, we have the kids write down different virtues. Before we give the cross to somebody, we will choose one of those virtues and we pray over them.
So we blindly choose one before we give it to somebody.
We don't say random anymore.
Yeah, we don't say it's not random because we've had too many stories of people that have come back and said that word. It was divine, the reason why I got that word. People that it was health and literally were healed after that.
You pray over literally every cross.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Where do people go to find out and get one?
So we have a website, rad-joy.com.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And it's really hard to start your own business, run your own business. Really hard to keep faith. It is. You're exactly right. Perseverance, because you'll get into it and you're so convinced, and about halfway through you're like, this is the dumbest thing I've done.
There are days
cannot believe we thought this was divinely inspired. This may have come directly from hell.
But each day you can choose joy.
Yes,
that's
can.
A choice you
that's
can make.
Rad-joy. Put them where they belong. Put your burdens where they belong.
Glenn Beck.